Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm happy once again. It's Inspirational Truth time once again, and I greet you as always in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And I'm telling you, friend, if He isn't yours, He can be. If He isn't yours, He came to be. If He isn't yours, He wants to be. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be just as upfront as I can be today. Listen, friend, if you're not saved, you ought to be. I mean to tell you, you ought to be. We're running out of time. I'm telling you, as I look around, this thing is winding down. It's winding up. Look, we're just about, according to the Word of God, according to, like the song says, the signs in heaven, the earth and the sea. Look, friend, Jesus is coming soon. And if you're not in the body, if you're not a part of the body of Christ, if your name's not recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, if your sins have not been washed away by the blood of the Lamb, if you've not been sealed to the Spirit of God, if you've not been baptized into the body of Christ, not by water, but by the Spirit of God, listen, you're none of His, the Word of God says. I'm telling you, friend, listen, this message has stirred me up that God has laid on my heart today. I'm looking in the book of Matthew, chapter 13. I'm going to look at verse 33, a very familiar passage of Scripture to Bible readers, misunderstood. And I'm going to do my best to rightly divide the Word of God to you and set it forth as Christ set it forth to His apostles, hence to you and I, because it is in the Word of God. But before I do that, Deb's got a song she's wanting to do. The title of it is Fastened to the Rock, and it goes right along with what we're talking about. Listen, I'm glad I'm fastened to the Rock of Ages. Do you hear me? We need some place to where we can stand, friend, when the world's being shaken. I'll be back in a few.
Oh, sometimes my hope looks dim, but my faith must be in Him. Looking for answers to come while I wait. For sure, in Jesus Christ I am secure, and I know I am fastened to the rock. I am fastened to the rock, the rock of all ages. In Him I find show me His will. I must wait upon the Lord and stand on the rock. Now my hope is renewed. Lord, my strength, it comes from You. And I know with You that I'll carry on, for my anchor holds fast to this rock that will ever last. How blessed I am to be fastened to the rock. I am fastened to the rock, the rock. Show me His will. I must wait upon the Lord and stand on the rock. For I am fastened to this rock that has stood through the ages, and I find this sweet peace stand on the rock. I must wait upon the Lord and stand on the rock. I am fastened to the rock.
Well, thank God, I'm glad I am, friend. I'm glad I'm on the Rock of Ages. Listen, being on the Rock of Ages is better than the Rock of Ages being on you. And look, friend, look, if we fall on the rock, it'll break us to pieces. But if the rock falls on us, the Word of God says it'll grind us to powder. Wow, thank you, Debbie. What a great song. What a great lady. I appreciate my joint heir. And I appreciate you all tuning in today. Debbie and I are excited that you have, and we trust that our time together will be a blessing to you. In the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 33, the Word of God says this, "In another parable spake he unto them." Now, Jesus was speaking parables to a group of people, and he was really training his apostles. There was a multitude there, but he was really training his apostles about what was going to come. And he lets us know in these seven parables of the kingdom of heaven, the mystery parables of the kingdom of heaven, he's letting us know what it's going to be like between the time that the kingdom of heaven that was promised to David, the children of Israel, that was postponed because of the nation of Israel's rejection of Jesus Christ. He's letting us know between the time that that kingdom was postponed until the time that it is established. And listen now, please, everybody listening, say amen. It's going to be established. The church did not supplant or replace the nation of Israel. God's going to keep His promise to her. And listen, friend, the church and Israel are two totally separate entities, and God has plans for both of them. Great plans, bless God. Eternal plans for both of them. Now look, these parables, the mystery parables of the kingdom of heaven, are misunderstood, I'm afraid, in a lot of ways. And one of those ways is, when you begin to look at the parable that precedes this, the parable of the mustard seed, as well as this parable of the leaven, I hate to say this, maybe as many people don't today as they used to, but many people reference those and use them and present them as they show, that's what they teach anyway, that the growth of the kingdom, the success of the kingdom, the success of the gospel. But look, I'm not trying to sound like a know-it-all. I'm not trying to sound braggadocious or any of that. But I want you to know, friend, that's not what it's talking about. The Word of God, when it is rightly divided, that's what Paul told Timothy to do, 2 Timothy 2:15, to cut it straight. He said, "Son, cut it straight." Paul tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians 2, when compare spiritual things with spiritual things. Friend, we need to understand what the Word of God says and then interpret it according to what the Word of God teaches and how it tells us to interpret the Word of God. So I want you to know the growth of the mustard seed, and I'm going to preach on that today. I'm going to preach on this parable of leaven, and my text is going to be the effect of leaven, the effect of leaven. I want you to know the growth of that mustard seed is unnatural. It's unnatural, friend. It is unnatural. And this parable of the leaven is obvious when you begin to apply the truths of the Word of God to show that the church of Jesus Christ, now listen to this, which He empowered by, which He purchased by His blood, empowered by the Spirit, and entrusted to them the Word of God, it's going to end in the apostasy that we see manifest in this day and the age. Paul told Timothy, one of my favorite scriptures in the entire Word of God, 2 Timothy chapter 3, listen to what he said. He said, "Look, Timothy, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they even themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." We're living in that day. We're living in that day. We're living in the day of the Laodicean church age. That last phase, friend, that last phase of the church age, where it is the church of the Laodiceans, the period of time when the church again, which Jesus purchased with His blood, empowered by His Spirit and trusted with His Word, pushes Jesus to the outside to the point, friend, that He has nothing to do with the church as it's run on planet Earth. And we're going to see this. Look, even before Paul died, when he was on his way to Nero's chop block and then to eternity, he stops by church at Miletus where he could reach out to the church of Ephesus and listen to what he said. Listen, friend, he said, I know some things that's going to happen. He said, take heed to yourself and unto yourself and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God which you have purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Jude was talking himself. You know what he said? There's going to be men that will creep into the church. They're creeps, actually. Spiritual creeps. And friend, we're living in that day. Now look at what he said in Matthew 13 and 33. He said, another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Can I tell you what? Friend, just a cursive reading with any kind of understanding of Bible truth will let us know that there is a problem here. And I want you to know something. Christ did never say that the church which He purchased, I don't know why I'm repeating this so many times, but it must be necessary. The church which He purchased with His blood, empowered by His Spirit and entrusted with His Word. Listen, friend, He did not say, He never said, He never insinuated that the church would have victory in this world to where it would totally conquer the world. Now look, friend, if we begin to look at this parable, it's simple to see. He said the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. Now, everywhere in the Word of God, that leaven is mentioned, and it's mentioned a lot of times. The word leaven occurs about 98 times or so in the Word of God, 75 times in the Old Testament, the rest of them in the New. That's about 23 times. You want me to tell you what it is always? Hey, listen, friend, what it is always a picture of? It is a picture of sin. Jesus said, look, He warned the disciples in Matthew 16 and 6, I believe it is, although I'm not turning there, I've turned over the book of 1 Corinthians 5, but He said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. There's another place that He made reference to the Herodians, and those things of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the apostles found out that Jesus is warning them of the doctrine of the Pharisees. You know what the doctrine of the Pharisees was? It was blatant hypocrisy. I mean to tell you, they said something and they did something else. They hid behind a mask. Let me tell you something else, take it a little deeper about the Pharisees. They added to the Word of God. They added their traditions. They added their ideas to the Word of God. You know what we need to do? We need to keep our hands off the unadulterated, eternal, pure Word of God. Jesus gave to the apostles the doctrine upon which the church is built upon. In the book of Acts 2:42, the Word of God tells us that the church is to follow in the apostles' doctrine. And if there is any kind of hint of sin, evil doctrine, corruptness that comes in and makes itself manifest, we're to get rid of it. According to the Word of God, listen to what Paul said. Paul said this, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And can I tell you, friend, look, there's a lot of people in this day and age that are sincere in what they believe and how they live and what they do, but they've got a problem. They left off truth. They brought in their ideas. They brought in what pacifies it and stirs the flesh and makes it happy. They left off the truth of the Word of God. Can I tell you, sir, man, listen, the effects of leaven have always been, always will be, are negative. You understand? It's corrupting. You know what leaven is? Listen, it is corrupt or rotten bread. I mean to tell you, it is. And the amazing thing about leaven, I don't care how much flour you have in a bowl. You can put just a pinch of soured dough in that flour. And you know what that soured dough is going to do? It's going to permeate all of that flour. It has the power to change every particle that it comes into contact with into like particles of itself. Look, friend, listen, you cannot deny the truth. You know what leaven does to bread. You know what it does to wine. I mean to tell you, friend, it ends up with something that is putrid, something that is negative, something that is opposite to the truth of the Word of God and opposite to the pure, unadulterated truth that we find in God's holy Word. Listen, friend, I want you to know something about leaven. And I'm not going to get this preached. I'll not get to tell you everything that I'd like, everything that needs to be said today. But I want you to know, look, let me give you one other thing, at least, about the leaven of the Pharisees or the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I told you that for the Pharisees, it was tradition. I mean, they were hypocrites. They hid behind the mask of religion. They said, but did not. And that's what's going on in America today. 2 Timothy 3:5, he said this, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. That's what the hypocrites in the Pharisee world were doing. They were saying, look, you do this, but they would not even, with one little bit of their little finger, lift any of the burden or do anything they tried how to get everybody else to do. And then there's the Sadducees. They were skeptics. They doubted the Word of God. They didn't believe that the Word of God was the unadulterated, inspired, perfect, pure Word of God. And can I tell you, we've got multitudes of those kind of people running around today filling pulpits, filling the airwaves every day of the week on Sunday through Saturday. Bless God. It doesn't matter what Bible you read. Just choose one that suits you. You know what? I don't know about you, but I'm staying with the King James Bible. It's over 400 years old. It's been tried and proven time and time again. God brought it in through the Philadelphia church age. And He said, listen, because you've kept that, I'll keep you. I'm going to stay with it today. Bless God, I'm going to stay with it. Now look, leaven speaks of that which satisfies or pleases the natural man. Did you know that? I mean, that's what it depicts. It depicts that which is pleasing to man. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. Christianity was never designed to delight the flesh any more than unleavened bread satisfies the taste on, well, when it was first mentioned in Passover, Exodus chapter 12. I want to tell you though, friend, that's a picture of contemporary Christianity of our day. Get upset if you will, but I'd encourage you, don't change channels, don't turn this old preacher off. Maybe God will use this to stir you, to challenge you, to get you to think about where you're at, who you are, where you're worshiping, how it's being done, why it's being done. Listen, contemporary Christianity attempts to make the things of Christ appealing to the flesh, to the natural man. I want you to know it downplays the necessity of repentance. It downplays the necessity of self-denial. It manifests itself in these seeker-sensitive or seeker-friendly types of churches. It manifests itself in the worldly music that they brought in the dress and the entertainment that they purport and present. Listen now, to jazz up the gospel. Can I tell you, sir, man, listen, the gospel doesn't need jabbed up, doesn't need held up, doesn't need propped up. Bless God, let me tell you what it does need. It needs a clear presentation. It needs a man of God touched with the Spirit of God just to present it to people, oh, friend, so they'll know that it is the unadulterated Word of Almighty God. I'm telling you, friend. How we're living in that day. Where this woman is doing her work. I want you to know that this pragmatic church age. You know what it's doing? It's attempting to employ worldly things in an effort to achieve spiritual goals. And it just won't work. And that's a T.K. Price quote, by the way. It will not work. Now let me say something, and I've got to go. My time's almost up. If this woman was doing something good, if this woman putting leaven in this meal, and this meal is a picture of the Word of God, it's a picture of Jesus Christ Himself. It's a picture, bless God, of the truth, if you will. It's a picture of Christ, His Word, and His doctrine. I want you to know if what she was doing, I was intended to do something right. If it was for a benefit, if it was for the glory of God, why was she hiding it? I want you to know, friend, when a woman is presented in the Word of God, in a religious or in a spiritual sense, like this woman is here, the woman they refer to as Jezebel in the Church of Thyatira, in the book of Revelation chapter 2, it's always a picture of something bad in a doctrinal sense. And if this woman was doing something so good, if it wasn't nefarious, I mean to tell you, if it wasn't sinful, if it wasn't wicked, if it wasn't nefarious and wicked, why is she hiding? She hid it till the hole was leavened. Isn't that amazing? Oh, friend, I'll tell you. I don't care what kind of search you do. Don't care what kind of study you do. But if you're true to the truth, if you're true to the Word of God, if you study out what leaven is, you'll find that it's always corrupt. It's always sinful. It's always a negative thing. You know what Jesus did? Or ask in Luke 18:8, and I marvel at this verse of Scripture. He said this in verse 8, He said, "Nevertheless, in the latter part of that I tell you," He said, "when the Son of Man come, shall He find faith on the earth?" Now I've been taught, and I'm made to believe, that that question is couched in such a way that it demands, and that's remarkable, is it not? It demands a negative answer. And I'm telling you, friend, we're seeing the effects of that in our day. You look at where the church world is. You look at what she's involved in. You look and see what she's embracing. You look and see what she's purporting and preaching and proclaiming. You look and see who she allows in her pulpit. You look and see where there is a lack of purity in the church of Jesus Christ. Oh, friend, I want you to know we're living in that last day. Without a doubt, we're living in that last day. How we're seeing what leaven does. We're seeing it from day to day. How we're seeing it from moment to moment. And bless God, when we began to corrupt the Word of God, it doesn't get any better. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 3 again, what a great, great chapter that is. Listen to what he said. He didn't say, Timothy, I know in the last days perilous times are going to be here. But when they do, son, they'll keep getting better and better. No, listen to what he's saying, verse 13. He said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Watch this. Deceiving and being deceived. I'm telling you, friend, listen, there's deception everywhere. You can go to any kind of church you want nowadays. You can go to church that always makes you feel good. But bless God, you need to go to a place that calls itself the church, where they purport and proclaim and preach and stand on rightly divide the Word of Almighty God. I'm telling you, they preach it whether they like it or not. Preach it whether they feel like or whether it feels good or not. They just rear back and proclaim, "Thus saith the Lord." They do it with power. They do it with humility. They speak the truth in love, but yet they do it boldly. They cry aloud and they spare not. They listen. They challenge. They call to repentance. They reprove. They rebuke. They exhort with all long suffering and sound doctrine. And yet they love as hard as they preach. I'm telling you, folks, listen. The effects acts of leaven is not good, always negative. And I believe we're seeing. I believe we're seeing what Jesus said. And you know what? When you look at these parables, there's not much left after this one. I mean to tell you, it continues its downward path. And I believe with all of my heart, just any day we'll see Jesus come. Oh, friend, look. There's sin in your life. Repent. Hey, there's sin in your church. Repent. There's false doctrine being proclaimed in the pulpit. Repent. Go to God. Listen, ask Him to change. Bring about revival. Listen, bring an awakening, a clarification. Hey, go to God in prayer and fasting and say, oh, God, deliver us. Hey, listen, friend, the warnings are there. The signs are there. Hey, listen, we know what it's going to end up as, but you don't have to. Hey, do something about what you can today. Under the name,
you are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TomAndDebbie@inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.